Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. This week, Church at War with Vikings over Treasure. Do you remember that one, Suds?
No.
Gav, do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
When we said they should actually battle. Do you not remember? Oh, you might have been out of the room.
I think I must have been.
You must have been,
I can't wait to hear it for the first time on the podcast.
Oh my God, she's good. She's good.
Very good.
We play your cats right with the top 10 most Instagram cat breeds.
You were definitely here for that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And
I won, lost, can't remember.
No, you lost this week. Did she? I can't remember. Well, you have to find out.
Okay, listen back to the podcast.
Let's us listen to the podcast and find out what we've been doing this week.
Yeah.
And Gav's got a weird fish with a fleshy clasper in his heroic little slot. Fantastic. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Unfortunately, Suncha and I have got a bit competitive. Okay, here's the deal, okay? It's really unfortunate. I go to my Instagram today. I had a great weekend, but last night, I go to the very last night of the Kubrick exhibition on High Street, Kensington, at the Design Museum.
The new Design Museum.
And I'd heard, I'm such a massive fan, a bigger fan than Suncha is, certainly.
What?
Anyway, because we're going to get competitive right from the start. Anyway,
I went on Saturday, so I beat you.
Just wait.
I beat you by a whole day.
I'm a much bigger fan. And one day doesn't matter anyway. This is my third time I've been.
No, it's not.
Sure, you're such a liar. So imagine my alarm when I just post this picture. And then it's the first time I've been on Instagram this weekend. And I post the picture today just of the, you know, the helmet from Full Metal Jacket that says Born to Kill. Joker's helmet.
Right.
Well, I post that. And then I'm looking through my other feeds that I follow. And Sunta's one of the ones I follow. There's exactly the same photograph there.
No, not. Almost exactly the same, but mine's slightly better. No, because you can actually read Born to Kill, whereas you've gone for a slightly more obscure angle.
Yeah, but if you notice that on yours, there is that you've got, unfortunately, your camera is reflected in the glass.
Yeah, and with Johnny's one, there's a stronger sense of mise-en-scene.
With mine, there's mise-en-scene. And you just haven't got it. Your camera's... No, unfortunately,
Your framing's rubbish. There's a little bit of the the belt on the side.
I know,
the,
just to give it added interest.
No, that looks like weird for the other...
Pick
a helmet. Don't have a little bit of one helmet and all of another.
Suncha, you know, on the whole reflection argument, I couldn't crab round like you have because you pick up the reflection on that side of the cabinet. That's why I didn't do it. Amateur error.
Still, I think mine's better.
I get stressed.
You can see the little badge with the CND symbol. You can clearly see Born to Kill straight on in front of the picture of Joker
No, but you know the thing is, I've got about three shots I took of this. I thought, because I know you've got my Instagram thing, I thought, oh my God, as a final wind-up, you've gone in and you've nicked one of my photos because I know.
Because I can access your photos.
Because you can access my Instagram. I don't know about things, but I know you got my password for Instagram because when I'd lost my phone, you posted a couple for me. So I thought the cheeky cow. She's been in there. She's nicked them and now she's making it. Only because I thought she couldn't be exactly the same photo. Suddenly crops up on the same weekend. Anyway, go to Johnny_Vaughan 66. Have a look.
Templeton. Or
go to Sunter Templeton and please, which is the better photograph?
83936.
83936. Or you can just, we should do it like an Insta debate or Insta poll. I tell you what else I did at the weekend.
What?
I went to the Goodwood Revival.
Oh, right. Is that where everyone dresses up like it's the olden days?
It's left me with nightmares.
Why?
Because everyone's shiny-faced and wind up and wearing weird period garb.
It's like
when you wake up the next day with a hangover, it's like you've had a really bad dream. And there's like a circus there. I mean, not sort of fairground.
Right. Yeah.
And I went in a hall of mirrors. And there was stout yeomen laughing. And old cars. And like
rosy-cheeked men.
US airmen walking around.
I feel like everyone's going to be dressed like it's the Second World War.
Yes, right. You're on it.
Yeah.
Or they just dressed like... Just
hipsters.
No.
Okay, I don't know what you're trying to say, but I think it's a bad word.
Okay.
A bad word.
A bad word.
Like brats, rhymes with. And they really, really, it's extraordinary. The thing is, amongst them all, there's a few good people there, but have any conversation with anyone at Goodwood Revival, you're thinking, hang on a second, this person hasn't blinked at all. Why is this an issue? Why are they talking to me now? I went up to this stand where a guy just sells old Louis Vuitton bags.
Mm. Not chocolate and tights.
No. It just, and he just, he just started talking about the amount of suitcases. I said, I don't need all this detail. And he's like, and he says, and then someone came and goes, I first came on this stall when you was this high. He goes, is it you? I think, wow, she knows him through old suitcases.
Wow.
Wow. And everyone is, they've just gone too far.
Okay.
They've gone too far. I met this one guy who sells moustache things, really good products.
Yeah.
And I was talking about Bullfrog products. He knows the guys who runs Bullfrog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can I interest you then in maybe making a purchase? And he was a really nice bloke, this guy. Yeah. But why has everyone got to be in character to sell things? No, I'm saying, when I go to KFC, I don't want to meet the colonel. No. You know, I don't meet a guy behind the counter and go, well, hi there, what you looking for? Sure, now you can get some tasty nuggets. And it's like, everyone at these stores is like in character. I'm like, just be normal.
As people would have been during the war.
Yes, yeah, it wouldn't have been all like that.
It would have been exactly the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been all. No, it's everyone working there. It's got to be a sudden character. Anyway, I got the hell out of there. It was all right, but never again.
Okay.
Right. Never.
You've done
and
it.
And I mean, never.
Okay.
Yeah? Never.
Never again.
I cannot recommend.
I think I quite like it.
I cannot recommend. Yeah, yeah. I cannot recommend the Goodwood Revival. So there you go.
Radio X.
I can't believe that Prince Harry and Meghan are going to become the new face of Sky Bet.
Are they?
Yeah, that's what it says.
No.
Yeah, maybe I got that wrong.
Not right, surely.
Yeah, they are. It's going to show them in front of the telly, and then William and Harry, they're both betting in like Kensington Palace, and they go. And they're not really listening. They're not listening to their wives talking because all the time they're just thinking of the bet they've got.
Yeah.
No, I just made it up. Mm. Here's an amazing thing. One of the Britain's, I'd say, most unsullied news sources, as far as if you count. Well, it's unsullied by truth, which is pastry of the star. Get this. Donald Trump has put the blame on energy-saving light bulbs for his bright orange face.
Yes, what? Definitely the bulbs, isn't it?
It's the bulbs there, definitely.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
He's a climate change sceptic. He's hit out at environmentally friendly green lights, which he claims are the reason he looks so bronzed.
How?
Apparently those light bulbs also make it look like you haven't put any bronze around your eyelids.
Yeah. Apparently
that's what that does.
Weirdly, they make you not, I mean, normally he looks like Robert Redford in The Natural.
Yeah, that's right.
But they make him look like a pig.
With candy floss hair.
Also it says later on here that the microphones make the stuff that comes out of his mouth sound like hateful bile.
Sure.
Yeah.
And also, apparently...
Eco-microphones, that must be, though.
Yeah,
energy-saving.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, he's got this energy-saving keypad on his phone, which means he has to tweet total... and it affects his tweets.
Those suits he wears hide his abs, apparently.
Yeah, and apparently... It's
built like a Navy SEAL.
It's to do with the wind in the cloth of the trouser that makes his legs have that horrid shape thing. But apparently it's all...
Unbelievable.
It's all to do with these eco light bulbs, even outside.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
A £2 million Viking treasure trove is a subject of legal action by the Church of Scotland. Mm. Over whether the finders are indeed keepers.
So there's a dispute.
Now, there's a few rules that are sort of, I don't know, finders, keepers. It depends how old, doesn't it? And also, finders, keepers, the trouble with that is, it's a thieves' charter.
It really is.
Say, no, I didn't steal it, I just found it.
Yeah.
Where'd you find it?
At your neighbour's car.
In the back of my car, after I nicked it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Because it's very easy to set up a finder's keeper situation. So I think we can say, if there's 1,000 years since it's been found and hidden and found... Then
that's fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, Derek McLennan, a metal detectorist, uncovered a 10th century hoard, which includes silver bracelets and brooches, a gold ring, an enamelled Christian cross and a bird-shaped gold pin. Yeah, not a golden pin, a pin.
Treasure.
A treasure. He made the discovery in 2014 in a field in Dumfries and Galloway.
And what's the dispute? Go on.
Well, it's the land is owned by that charitable body, the Kirk of Scotland.
Okay.
And let me tell you, the church, if it's any Anglican church or Roman church, they want the money to themselves.
There'll be no charity here.
Well, the church is so incredibly rich.
They've got so much money.
Okay, as well as the stuff they own above ground, they own 500,000 hectares of mineral rights in Britain.
That's a lot of mineral rights.
A lot of it just means they own a hell of a lot of gravel, Gav.
Yeah, sure.
But, but literally, if you're digging around, chances are the church owns everything. Remember, they invented tax.
Right.
That was a pure church thing. In fact, it was always the thing I loathed about the last Archbishop of Canterbury, when he suddenly decided to step up and say they should pay more tax. You know, about city fat cats.
Who should? The city should.
Yes, right, they should pay more tax. And I was thinking, hang on a second, that doesn't represent Jesus. Jesus never said tax people more.
No, he didn't. No.
He was, in fact, he didn't like tax men particularly.
Well, churches are tax free, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But also, I'm thinking, considering I've seen Lambeth Palace as your perk.
Yeah.
Let's not start talking about perks we get.
Some revenue went into that puppy.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. He's got a palace.
Yes.
He's got like more jewels on his cross than like Ludacris.
Yes.
He makes a gangster rapper look modest. They don't walk around with a big mitre and literally gold robes and finery. Anyway, the church want to know about it. Gav.
Yeah.
What I'd like is, it seems to me they're all arguing, but if it's finest keepers, then this is Viking gold.
Yeah. Give it back to them.
No, let the Vikings come and take
it. Yeah, let them come and take
it. So you imagine that. The church literally has to be protected by crusaders with big swords.
Yeah. Yep.
And suddenly a boat does arrive. And it is.
See whose gold it is.
And if it's 1,000 years old, you have to fight over it by those rules.
And we'll see who wants it the most,
We'll
John.
See who wants it most. The church no love lost between the Church of Scotland and Norway as they come out today on a fight to the death for some Viking gold. You know, there's the commentary.
Yeah. I think it'd be great.
I'd love to watch it.
Much more like it.
No, you want to have a Viking horde, you know, you better come with it.
You've got to earn it.
Right. Right, you've got to earn it. Because I tell you, those Vikings did.
And whoever loses gets on the burning boat.
Exactly right.
At the end.
Yeah. A one-way ticket to Valhalla, boy. I don't know why I did that accent. It's 6:15. You going to Valhalla, boy?
God dang Vikings.
No, but it's the sort of thing that would happen in John Wayne films. Yeah. They'd have a Viking. Hey, what elf boat are you, moron?
Are you Ethel Red, the unready?
Yeah, exactly right.
Can't stand that King Canute.
Looks like the Vikings. Radio X. This has annoyed me so much. David Taylor of Rutland, the county where I used to work for the local paper, the Rutland Herald. I know this county really well.
Okay.
I know. My mum lives really near. My mum and dad live either side of Oakham.
Okay.
Unhappily. For years, we've proudly boasted that we're the only county in England without McDonald's. Why would you be proud of that?
Yeah. Why would you need that inconvenience?
No, but why be proud of things like that?
Yeah.
Because it makes you different.
Ah,
something
great.
To be different.
I curse.
Look at that.
Every day that my local town doesn't have a McDonald's.
Yes.
I have to go to another town.
No, but it just shows the sort of... That, no, we haven't got... With like the Britain's dog in the manger. Get this. It's a shame the council have bowed to the big corporations. Not really. People just like the food. It's great. It's cheap. You can feed a family there for nothing. It's a good treat.
Yeah.
Believe me, it's not going to be... They're not going to have, like, loads of beef families eating there 3 times a day. I know Oakham.
According to scientists in America, the fries cure baldness.
I saw that today. So it'll be very
amazing.
Thick-haired town.
Yeah.
It doesn't suit our town and our way of living. It's a local town for local people. We'll have no trouble here. That's what he says. A local town.
It covets the things
people.
Of
have
the
no
shop.
Trouble here.
Not local.
What's the noise? What's all this shouting? We'll have no trouble here. It'll be an eyesore and attract the wrong sort of people. An eyesore. Okay, where Rutland Sixth Form College used to be, you've got a Lidl. Right by where this new McDonald's is going to go, you've got an Aldi. Mm-hmm. Right? It's on a ring road anyway, which is hardly part of this traditional market town.
Mm-hmm. Are they got, particularly good-looking Aldi?
No, it's a horrid-looking market town. It's not like Stamford nearby, which is beautiful.
Right.
Or even Uppingham, just 6 miles up the road.
Yeah.
Oakham, it's got a castle, which I would describe where the magistrate's court is held as being, when you hear the word castle, I'd say that's as near as you can get to false advertising. It's a hall with horseshoes on the wall.
Right.
Never say, oh, can we visit the castle? Yeah, can we just go and visit like a, well, essentially a big barn? So Stamford's beautiful. Oakham isn't.
Right.
It's got a really dreary high street, which has actually just got a succession of really rubbish takeaways.
Right.
And you they could do with the McDonald's. Kebab shots. There's a couple of Chinese up there, a Chinese restaurant, which is all right.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a few curry houses, a petrol station in the middle, never that nice looking.
I'm interested in who they think are the wrong kind of people that are going to McDonald's.
Right. Attract the wrong sort of people.
What, hungry people?
Okay, I've been scouring Oakham years to try and bump into the wrong sort of people. There aren't any. Believe me, you go to Oakham, you'd be desperate to find the wrong sort of people.
He definitely would have tried. Yeah. No, I mean, question.
I guarantee once it opens, we'll have a KFC and a Burger King next. I worry. Why?
What?
KFC's
that
also
even better.
Also delicious. honestly, at the moment, you try and eat there after a certain hour. You know what it is? If it's anywhere decent, if it's a good pub or whatever,
yeah.
And there's some really good pubs to eat around, outside Oakham, incidentally, yeah. It's always, chef's turn fries off. Sorry, 9 o'clock, chef's turn fries off. But I want a salad. I know, but I've had this conversation. I want salad. I know, but chef's still turned fries off.
No, he's having
and
a
then
fight.
I went, but I want a salad. She goes, you're not listening, are you?
Wow. As they were saying,
Oakham, get this McDonald's. As they say in Oakham, don't be so stupid, boy. You want to get your son a McDonald's. Instead of messing about, boy.
I want a bank advert to say that.
What?
Barclays Bank. You're not listening, are you?
Oakham, don't be so stupid, boy. Get you sent a McDonald's.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
It's time for the Woodman's Thursday Hero. Every Thursday right here on the 4-7 thing, the Woodman gives us a crazily named creature.
I do.
That's a creature heroic merely, well, not merely, but because it has a crazy name. So far we've had the red-lipped batfish, the wolverine frog, the doorhead ant, viper dogfish.
Yeah.
This week we've got a deep sea fish from the Pacific.
That's right, Johnny. Specifically from Alaska down to Baja, California, along the west coast of America. Yes, the spotted ratfish is found in the Pacific Ocean. It's a very distinctive looking fish, which I'll show you in a sec.
Okay.
It's a smooth, scaleless skin, silvery bronze colouring with white spots. Why is it called a ratfish?
Why is it called a ratfish?
It has a long, thin, rat-like tail, half the length of the fish. Also, a slightly duck-billed snout and rabbit-like face and teeth.
Nice. Gav, I can't wait. Stop teasing us.
Well, I'm going to show you the fish while I carry on describing it. The females grow up as long as 3 foot long.
It's disgusting.
Much bigger than the males.
Gav.
They have a poisonous spine on the dorsal fin, not fatal.
Is that a real eye?
That's a real fish, that is.
Oh, my God.
It's got a small but very powerful bite.
It looks a bit like
small
me.
Mouth. Yeah, it can take large prey, also large green reflective eyes like a cat. They like crunchy food, like clams and crabs.
Gav, it's disgusting.
And if this fish wasn't weird enough, Johnny, they have a thing called a clasper.
They don't squirt.
No, it's a retractable fleshy organ just behind and between their eyes.
Oh, my God.
With loads of little barbs on it, on the tip, with which they clamp onto the female during courtship.
Nice.
And it's a bizarre looking
thing. You can buy those.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you?
The fleshy clasper.
Yes.
They have a mildly toxic spine.
Oi, get out of here, you fleshy clasper.
But they're not aggressive fish. When they swim, they can do barrel rolls and corkscrew turns like an aeroplane.
Wow.
Which is quite rare.
Yeah. I don't know, Gav. I don't know what fish specialist moves are.
Well, they just usually wriggle and swim, don't they?
They can do
They don't
all
do
sorts
barrel
of
rolls. You don't see fish doing barrel rolls,
Gav,
do you?
I don't know. I haven't watched them for long enough.
I've seen you watching fish.
Gav, can I just say, firstly, I don't know what they get up to down there.
Sure. But it is still called the spotted ratfish.
It's horrible.
And just for that alone, we should salute
it. We really do. It's the spotted ratfish. I'm looking at it now. Gav, I mean, he didn't really give me the chance to talk you through it, but it's as he said, and it's disgusting. But we salute him.
At the Bank of Antandek, mortgages are on the menu.
I was in the chippy last night, and it hit me.
Go on.
We should give all our new mortgage customers £1,000 of spuds.
Potatoes.
Yeah, jackets, roasties, dolphin wires. I mean, what's not to love?
Hey, yeah, we could call it mashback.
Genius.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're giving their customers £1,000 cash back on selected first-time buyer mortgages. See what's possible at Santander.
Lending subject to status and criteria. Cashback given on completion and repayable if mortgage closed within 2 years. Offer can be withdrawn. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Sorry, I'm just trying to book one of those drivers, advanced driver school. By that I mean it's speed awareness course. And they just make up areas in London like Redhill, Betchworth.
Betchworth sounds generic.
Betchworth, it's made up. It's made up. It's just somewhere you think, well, I've never heard of it. I won't go there.
I think that's one of the clubs that Roy of the Rovers played against.
Yeah, Betchworth.
Betchworth Town.
What other options have I got there, little Si? Who knows? Okay, let's take a look at what could possibly go. No. Do you know what? You all want to hear about Shakespeare, don't you?
Of course.
I said...
Where I live, we talk of little else.
You all want to hear about Shakespeare, right?
Sure.
Do you?
Sure.
What do you mean? Little Si, can you get the theme? If I'm going to do some Shakespeare stuff, can we get a theme, please?
Oh, we have a Shakespeare theme, Vinny.
We do, because I've got all the latest from the world of Shakespeare. So get this. Literary scholars believe that they have identified a copy of Shakespeare's first folio. Do you know, it suddenly occurred to me about Shakespeare, right?
What?
Because we have to assume. It's a bit like, you know, you get those composers in East Europe, just when you start to suddenly get all these great musicians who are also writing great melodies, which never happened before.
Yeah.
And all they were doing was just literally plundering the folk music of the time that had never been written down.
Yes.
And just making beautiful music out of it, which is what I believe virtually Shakespeare did.
Yeah. Right?
That's just my belief.
Yeah.
So before we have a permanent theatre built in London, Shakespeare, theatre companies just tour the countryside permanently. They've only got one play. That's their play.
They do
that. Or there'll be about three plays. And that's all they do. They just tour the country one play and they just can make a living from that because no one ever sees it twice. It's a bit like a roll of film just making a tour of local old cinemas.
It just
make its way around. So I think what Shakespeare did is he just tidied up all these old stories that were really traditional, all formatted, and he was beautiful at writing dialogue.
Yeah.
Well, we must assume that was his particular gift, because the stage instructions aren't that eloquent.
Right. Makes sense.
Apart from maybe exit pursued by bear in Winter's Tale, which I particularly like. It's my favourite stage direction. Okay. Because it's beautiful, isn't it?
I didn't know about that one.
Well, exit pursued by bear, Winter's Tale. Yeah, actually, it's the only good thing in that play.
Right.
Oh, no. There's a couple of good things. Right. So I think sometimes when I read about Shakespeare's folio, because they wrote in iambic pentameter, which is, as you know, like 10 to a line, 10 little titums, no, sorry, 5 titums, 5 titums, which is 10 syllables, is that sometimes I think to myself, I bet that's just how the printer worked it. It's funny, isn't it? It's not only that, but that exactly fits those two columns across, which gives you 20 syllables.
I think it was a typesetting
issue. That's all I think it is. I think it's just an easy way to type, because I think it probably cost them a quid a line.
Right.
20 shillings going across. Yeah. That was a quid.
Wow.
Because you've got two columns down it. If you look at the folio, it's just a theory no one else has put forward.
It's part of your other theory. Didn't you have a theory that the horses plod?
Yes.
Was the sort of heartbeat of the rhythm of it?
I was on the back of a horse and cart in Seville, and I was reading Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And I was reading it aloud to entertain the driver. No, I wasn't reading it aloud, but I was just reading it. I noticed the
rhythm
of the horse exactly suited what I was reading. I was thinking, is that what he did? He just used to write it down while there was a clip clop of his horse while he was travelling somewhere. Just
yeah.
So it's right. I went anyway, they've just found a copy of the first folio. A bit of me thinks all Shakespeare is just a printer. And that's what he's paid for.
He collated it.
Yeah. It's Shakespeare's first folio, a collection of all the plays of Britain that were around at the time. And these were part of our tradition. That
and he gussied them up a bit.
I don't know. You've got to have a theory. If you don't have an original theory, you're no one in this game.
Sure.
Anyway, sure.
Write that down, Vin.
The copy of the first folio, one of just over 230 known to have survived, which, the only reason I say it is because there's only 6 Shakespeare signatures that exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 of them are in this country. I've seen both of them. They're both completely different handwriting.
Totally different.
He's about a man who can't even write.
He could write that beautifully, and he changed the spelling of his own name about 40 times.
Right.
Shakespeare.
Right. But I just think it's Shakespeare. I just think he was a sort of printer. Anyway, they're also, or maybe he just did it all and someone took it down while he spoke.
He was an artisan printer.
Anyway, an artisan printer. Yeah.
He
and he was right in the East End as
he
well.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So it contains 36 of Shakespeare's plays. It's annotated with a handwriting. And guess who they found out? the who's done the annotations on a first folio of Shakespeare?
Is it Marlowe?
Milton.
No.
Yes, it's Milton's edition.
Bloody Milton.
That's like finding bloody Milton. I think of all the things I'm glad I never was in any life that I can remember.
Yeah.
It's one of Milton's daughters. What? Because he went blind and he had to dictate Paradise Lost to them.
Oh my God.
In very, imagine sitting there.
Weeks.
What are we doing tonight?
Weeks.
What are we doing tonight, girls? I think Dad wants to dictate Paradise Lost.
Oh, I'll get the candles.
No, God, God, God. The temptation to mess around with it.
Yeah.
Put something a bit knacky in there. Anyway, it's like finding a Jimi Hendrix songbook with annotations by John Lennon.
Right. It you know, is. For, of course it is. It's
guy,
that
to find
mad.
What,
yeah.
what, a first folio.
Yeah, it is.
So finding an original, like an exercise book of John Lennon's, and in there it turns out Cole Porter's just put a few things in. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It is mad.
That's your Shakespeare news. Radio X. Slow internet makes villagers feel like second-class citizens.
Wow.
That shouldn't make them feel like second-class citizens, you know?
You think there are other things?
Yeah, it's being cut off in horrible little remote villages.
But isn't that adding to the feeling of being cut off?
No, but they say slow internet makes villagers feel like second-class citizens. But it can't do. Being completely out of touch with the world must. Having no fashion. No, seriously, horrid hair.
For some villages, since the internet is a van full of books that drives
that's
through.
It, that's it, the mobile library.
The library van. Yeah. You'd have library van on a Tuesday, chippy van on a Wednesday.
Yes.
And that was it. That was all the action we got in my village.
That's it. And that is what I call a second-class lifestyle.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Santa spoke to us about her economy-class lifestyle.
We didn't have a post office.
No, I don't believe me. When I moved to a village from London,
that's nothing.
When I was a kid, we moved up from North London to a village. Yeah, and I can't remember such a miserable day ever. as we drove down the high street in this new village, the main street in this new village we're moving into. I say new village, an old village. And I remember my sister and I just looked in horror as we saw a blacksmith going to work. We're thinking, wow, they really.
It's like the Victorian
age. On the village green, and then on the village green there were stocks.
What?
Actual work. No, they still
there.
Yeah, they still kept the stocks there with a whipping post.
Wow.
And get this. There was an open. When we drove in there, it was honestly like occasionally you get those Hammer horrors where someone goes, wait a second, darling, this place isn't on the map. And they go in the pub and everyone's got a pint and there's no one there. You know, it's going. Anyway, and there was a cobbler just looking out into the main street, just mending a shoe in a completely blackened room.
And this is long before hipsters.
Yeah, this is long before hipsters. This wasn't, I mean, now you get that again. Yeah, you're right. Anyway.
You talk about having shops. We didn't even have a shop. We didn't have a cobbler. We didn't have any industry.
We had a shop. It was run by a really horrible man called Mr. Bartlett.
Was it?
Yeah. It was horrible. You know,
what kind of shop was it?
He let children in. None at a time. Yeah, we had to wait outside and we had to say what we wanted to him. Don't want you in here nicking stuff, you little thieving little... He just called them all thieves. He's horrible. Anyway, but they shouldn't feel like second-class citizens, like I say, just because of slow internet.
No.
What I mean. There's so much more to make them feel like that. Landowners. Church still powerful.
Yeah.
They talk about things like parish councils.
Yeah, there is a local landowner.
Yeah, there's a landowner as well who really keeps their rents up.
Yeah.
Just the smell of the two options in the winter, damp or log.
Yeah.
That smell you get when you arrive at
oil burning stove.
Yes. Loads and loads and loads of women who just seem to rent cottages and smoke pot. And watch afternoon telly on Freeview. We're second-class citizens because no one delivers our milk. We have to find a cow and get it ourselves.
Yeah, that's Frankie, yeah.
Sons, are you looking at these? Do you want to read one out?
Well, how about we live in rural Shropshire and our friends from Richmond came to see us on the train. He said, I'll get an Uber from the train station to our house when we arrive. And I burst out laughing and said, you could try ringing Dave, the taxi driver. And I bet Dave looks after the entire county.
Of course
I'm going to have the operation in a couple of days. So they'll take some of the
Babs cabs.
Babs cabs. They'll take most of it away, but they'll leave a primitive sort of... Okay. Hi, Johnny. In my village, the local cinema made me feel second class. It showed me the third-hour film Heat with an intermission. The three-hour film Heat with an intermission during which most people left thinking it was the end of the film. Thank you very much.
That's brilliant.
Just for that little slice of rural life.
This last one's great, Johnny, from Damo. He says, Johnny, what made me feel second class was being given a walkie-talkie for being in charge of the local Fates overspill car park. Two cars parked there for the whole day. The third used it to turn around in. I was even given the code Red Leader by John running the Fate.
That's from Damo. Thank you so much. Can I just say, Damo? I don't know if it's my mate, Damo, but can I just say...
Red Leader.
That is how second-class citizens live. In exactly that. They watch two cars for a day with a walkie-talkie and get patronised with a title like that. 83936. Yeah. More reasons, please.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Are you ready for this? What I love is... Jamie Oliver, Gordon, Marco, they always get picked on.
Yeah.
In any TV person, but particularly those three.
Yeah.
When they open restaurants.
Yes.
And a bit of my thinking has always been that really TV chefs like Gordon, what the snobbery is get below stairs. Don't try and be a businessman. Don't. It's a bit of that snobbery.
Or you're a cook, not a TV star.
No. It's your cook. That's fine. You're telling you, but don't start trying to run businesses.
Oh, I see.
Anytime Jamie Oliver, anytime his business stuff comes out, anytime with Gordon, they're on him. You thought, you don't hit any other restaurant groups like that.
No, that's true. Yeah.
And it's really saying, just get below stairs, get cooking. We don't try.
Stay
and
be in your box. Yeah.
Okay. Here's one I never saw coming. Kevin MacLeod, I like him immensely, and I love that show, Grand Designs, yeah? And I gather he's a brilliant bloke, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Now, properties on Kevin MacLeod's new build development have been described as like faulty towers. They've got cracks, leaks, sewage smells, and unfinished drives and pavements, according to residents. So he's built this 2 years on.
Yeah.
This is 2 years after moving in, all these million-pound houses on this estate in Oxford, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, their home's in Winchester and Oxford. Get this. They've moved in and they've been built by this television presenter's beleaguered company. They see they're being fobbed off and told there's no money to fix any of the problems. Yeah.
Right.
The Winchester location still has a building site with temporary lavatories where residents were promised a wildflower meadow and children's play.
Aww.
Yeah, it's not. It's a temporary toilet and just a roll of rubble.
Okay.
One resident who didn't want to be named said it's like faulty towers. It's comical how terrible they are. If I didn't like the house, I think I'd be 6 feet under with stress. It's a big call, that. My daughter was in the garden. A roof tile just fell down, missed her head by inches. A roof guy came and said he could see four or five that hadn't been secured properly. The owner told the Daily Mail. Yeah. And that is the key sentence here.
Three bits of hearsay there.
Because
it's the
Mail, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Mail wants everyone in their place. Well, he should just... The thing I can't work about, Gordon bloody Ramsay, all that, James, when they actually get in the kitchen.
Why don't they do some work?
How come he's got about eight restaurants? He can't cook in them all. Anyway, MacLeod, 60, presenter of Grand Designs, launched a happiness, architecture and beauty with a messianic desire to improve the UK's housing landscape.
Yeah.
Now, that's catnip to the Mail.
Oh,
for them, that's already sounding like crap, isn't it?
Yeah.
A messianic desire to improve the UK. Let's prove he hasn't. That's what. Right, I've seen this. Apparently, Kevin MacLeod wants to improve the lot.
Let's dig in properly here,
Let's
lads.
Let's dig in properly. Yeah. Here's a man who's trying to lift the dreary lives of millions.
Get him. Let's get
possibilities
him.
Of what you could be. I want him to give him the full Jamie Oliver treatment, yeah? He's a chubby kid from a pub in Essex. Let's get him back now.
You make Mail editorial briefings sound like sort of police briefings.
Right, listen in. Jamie Oliver, he's got lots of restaurants. He gives hope to loads. He's a nice bloke.
We can't have that.
He's done stuff for charity. He's trying to get people to lose weight. Let's make him look as fat as possible in every shot.
Yep.
And let's get him back in that pub in Essex rather than having ideas above his station.
And we
next.
Want a price on everything he's got.
I want a price on everything. And also how much them nippers is costing the NHS. Right, next. All right, Kevin MacLeod. He dreams of nice houses. What can we do? I heard a tail slipped down at one of his developments.
Well, it could have been four. Find out if it could have been four
tiles. Make that a kid. Make that a kid nearly got killed.
That's right.
Right. And that'll be for tomorrow. Try and get lots of claims in. Tell them we'll take care of the legal. Don't worry about it. Faulty Towers Homes. See if you can get a picture of Kev looking like Basil Fawlty outside.
Yep.
If you can get him doing the funny goose step walk, so much the better.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang. Radio X.
Are we ready for this, guys?
Yeah.
Using the three most used hashtags for each cat breed, researchers have counted the number of times Instagrammed cats were used to make our top 10 of Instagram cat breeds.
No.
So let's meet today's contestants. From Suffolk, ladies and gentlemen, Santa Templeton.
Hi.
And from East London, via Weybridge, down to, where are you now?
West Byfleet.
West Byfleet, Gavin Woods.
Hi, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
So where are you? So you're from Suffolk, my love. Is that a seaside town? You're from there?
I'm from a seaside town.
Now, I've got down here something sound like Jeremy Vine, which will definitely get people certainly not tuning in to the radio. I never actually knew I could do this impression, but it's this easy to sound as awful as him. Please don't stove the radio in. I've got down here, your parents were big into donkeys. What's that about?
Sure, they were. That's it.
Says here also, and burgers. But you never made burgers out of the donkeys, did you, my love?
No.
So what's it like growing up in the countryside? Santa Templeton, ladies and gentlemen.
Great. Sure.
So heartwarming.
Let's meet the man she'll be going up against, Gavin Woods. Hi, Gavin.
Hi, Johnny.
So you're from East London, I've got down here, but that's not East London as we know it, is it?
Well, it's funny you say that, John.
Go on.
Because it's actually the name of a town in a different country.
I bet you get some odd looks at the airports when you go through.
I certainly do.
God, what happens? I heard you got arrested.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's something else.
No, that's something
else. Sorry. That was the time you forgot your trousers. Right, Santa, heads or tails?
Tails.
It is tails. Here we go. I'm going to start with Sphinx,
mm-hmm.
which is a type of cat. Do you
yes.
know Sphinx cats? But on this list of top tens, do we think the Scottish Fold was higher or lower? Were there more Scottish folds on the Instagram than sphinxes? What do you think?
I'm going to say higher.
It is higher, my love. All right, let's see if we... Let's go somewhere else on the list. Are we ready? I'm in Scotland. I'm stroking my Scottish fold.
Okay.
But suddenly I'm looking, I'm thinking, you know what? From here, Russia isn't so far away.
No.
Right.
But is a Russian blue higher or lower on the list?
So cute.
Are they?
Johnny, I'm going to go higher.
Oh, I'm sorry, my love, Santa. Aww. Sorry, my love. It's lower. There's less. Still a chance to steal, though. Stay listening.
Okay.
Gav.
So we're with the Russian blue.
We're with the Russian blue, Gav. Yep. But are munchkin cats...
Oh, come on.
Higher or lower?
It must be higher.
No! Back to you, Santa. We're with munchkin cats. But let's go over to Bengal, or Bangladesh, as it's now called. And let's find out if it's higher or lower than munchkins. Bengal. They're certainly popular for curry, but cats.
Higher, Johnny.
Higher than a munchkin, you say? Yes, it is. Right. With Bengal. But do you think a Persian cat is more or less popular than a Bengal cat?
I think a Persian cat's more popular.
It's less popular. Unlucky. Unlucky. It's down. It's down on the list.
Oh.
Gav.
Yeah.
Still plenty of chances to steal, my love.
Okay,
Gav.
It's like Bruce Monkhouse.
Yeah. Yes, it is, yeah. But what year did it happen? Gav, we're going to go with Maine cats. Maine, that's M-A-I-N-E.
Okay.
But is a Maine cat more or less popular than a Persian?
Oh, I'm going to say less popular.
No, it's much more popular.
No.
It's much more popular.
Wow.
Back to you, Santa. Do you think a ragdoll cat more or less popular than a Maine cat?
More popular.
No, it's less popular. Oh. Back to you.
Me.
We're with a ragdoll. Gav.
Okay.
A British short hair.
Oh,
more or less popular than
British
a ragdoll.
British short hairs are really popular. They're more popular.
You think more popular than a ragdoll? This to take the game is a Siamese. We are Siamese, if you please, now called Thailand. But is it higher or lower in our list than the British short hair?
I'm going to say lower.
You think the Siamese cat is less popular than the British short hair on Instagram.
Yes.
If you're correct, you've won. If you're not, then the game goes to Dr. Sunda Templeton. That's it. Game over. I can tell you now, the game goes to Dr. Sunda Templeton. Siamese is the second most popular. At number 10, Munchkin. Number 9, Russian Blue. 8, Ragdoll. 7, Sphinx. 6, Persian. Then it's Bengal, Scottish Fold, British Shorthair, Siamese, and Maine is number 1.
At the Bank of Ant & Dec, mortgages are on the menu.
I was in the chippy last night, and it hit me.
Go on.
We should give all our new mortgage customers £1,000. Of spuds.
Potatoes.
Yeah, jackets, roasties, dolphin wires. I mean, what's not to love?
Hey, yeah, we could call it Mashback.
Genius.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're giving their customers £1,000 cash back on selected first-time buyer mortgages. See what's possible at Santander.
Lending subject to status and criteria. Cash back given on completion and repayable if mortgage closed within 2 years. Offer can be withdrawn. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
It is a warning that those in the grip of a midlife crisis should take seriously. Whoops. Blasting bat out of hell on the car stereo really will tempt you to drive more dangerously. Santa, you don't you dare look like you've given this before.
And yeah, I did kind of cheese salad this, didn't I?
You did, yes, dramatically. But participants have used a driving simulator for 1 hour on a mocked-up six-lane highway in moderate traffic while playing rock music, light music, or none at all.
Right.
So the study has been published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, found that while drivers listening to no music or light music change lanes about 70 times an hour,
yeah,
those listening to rock music change lanes 140 times an hour.
Double.
What? Yeah. What, more than twice a minute?
That's every 30 seconds.
I just
go in the fast lane and put my foot down.
Up to the speed limit.
Yeah, up to the speed limit while listening to like proto punk from about 76.
Or maybe some prog rock.
Yeah. Crypto wave. Anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
Listening to light music with a tempo below 80 beats per minute was comparable to driving in silence. So let's just, I'm going to take you through it so you can identify. Okay, you ready for this?
Go on.
First of all, 69 beats a minute. Mm. Beach Boys, Good Vibrations.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
Yeah.
Do you know this song? It's the first time anyone used the expression vibes about things, good vibrations. And people think that the effect of this song as a domino effect started the hippie. This is
really?
This is 66 this came out.
Wow.
Do you know it's still the most expensive record ever made?
Yeah, they made it in loads of different places.
Yeah. And he was doing it over years. It started off as a sound similar to it on Pet Sounds, the greatest album ever made.
Yeah.
But there's a tune that's slightly similar. Do you know within this song, there's 210 minutes of music.
Wow.
And they had to bounce it from four track because they only had four tracks.
But he's put 210 minutes of music and it's still the most expensive record ever made.
Amazing.
So that was 69 beats a minute. Yep. This is 91 beats a minute. You'll know this Red Hot Chili Peppers Can't Stop.
So this perks you up a bit more.
Yeah, but I can imagine people get quite, start slinging about a bit to this.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I do. The Red Hot Chili Peppers always make me feel sort of frustrated, like I want to kind of smash things up.
Yeah.
No, because it's something about that.
Yeah.
I want to go and smash the house up.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It's not relaxing.
Okay, now this is one. I think we're getting into the danger zone. Danger zone here. Here we go. Exactly. Now, Santa, how do you rate your recklessness? Not, I mean, obviously in a sensible sort of way, but if you listen to Living on a Prayer, would you ramp it up as you hear John get into that bit?
Maybe, but it's not really going to push me over the edge yet. How many BPMs is this?
This is 112. John, I love doing to this.
What?
Slowing down.
Yeah.
When there's old people at a bus stop, and I just look out. I look out like that. And then I nod like, come on, rock.
You look really Partridge right now.
Yeah, but seriously.
You did. He was nodding his head like.
Do it to pensioners. They love it.
I bet they do.
Because they're living on a prayer. And you've got to time it. I'm just saying. You've got to time it. So as you pull up outside the bus stop, you just point at them and you just go, living on a prayer.
Or outside a church.
Yeah. And then you just rev off.
Yeah.
No, outside churches. There's only one sound to make outside churches. Where people are walking in. Why? Well, because they're following like sheep. The lambs are going. It's just funny. Yeah. I also do that outside nightclubs. There's a big queue. I'm driving past.
Yeah.
And you can see a few people turn around and go, he's right, we are just sheep, aren't we?
We're just
okay, next one. This is a very dangerous record now. This is up to 146 beats a minute. This is dangerous.
Yeah, it's a long tune too, and it builds and builds.
With this record, do you know, there's a version of it that lasts a year. Well, that's how it feels.
Radio X. Johnny. Johnny. Vaughan.
Ever since I told you about the time my dad used our bath to try out his new wetsuit, you've been sending your dad stories in for a section of the show we're calling Dad's Barmy! Here's some Dad's Barmy stuff. The dad who set off fireworks every bonfire night to the Wombles version of In the Hall of the Mountain King, which we still love. I guess if you weren't around for the time of the Wombles and you want to... They're sort of like gorillas.
Yeah.
But not as good.
Similar idea.
Yeah, the gorillas aren't as good as the Wombles.
Ooh.
The dad who pre-drills mushrooms to prepare for kebab skewers, which we loved, and the dad who uses a spreadsheet to keep track of who's cooked Christmas dinner.
That's brilliant.
Genius. Gav, what is Raymond in Alton telling us?
Raymond says, during the 70s, my dad worked as a foreman in a nylon and polyester factory in Antrim. One of his subordinates was notorious for sneaking off for a kip on night shifts. Uh-huh. So to teach him a lesson, my dad made a full set of clerical robes out of scrap nylon and proceeded to give the bloke last rites, anointing him from a teapot borrowed from the canteen.
Brilliant.
Needless to say, the poor guy never slept again at work.
That's fantastic.
And got signed off for a while due to bad nerves.
Nice, nice. Wow, he's actually caused him some...
The power of Christ compels you.
The power of Christ compels you. That was their mistake in The Exorcist.
Why?
They just didn't have something from near the end.
They should have, yeah.
The devil would have naffed off crazy. The power of Christ compels you. Especially if we did it on James Beer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in a Lamborghini. Oh, I have to go drive a Lamborghini.
James Beer.
Mitsubishi. I have to drive a Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi. Sorry. Sons of Templeton.
This is coming from Alice.
Go on.
Alice says, during one of my dad's only attempts to be of any use during my adolescence.
Nice.
He tried to iron my swimming costume.
No! Oh, that's cheap.
Oh. Needless to say, steaming hot metal and a Lycra polyester mix do not appreciate each other's company.
You'll never get it off the iron.
I bet he put it on linen setting as well. It's a hot one, isn't it?
She finishes with, I did not attend my swimming lesson that week.
I bet she didn't. But how, do you know something though? Sometimes, there's a brilliant book I read ages ago. It was just about women struggling around the world doing different things.
Yeah.
And there was one, it was just a Russian woman in a small town somewhere in Siberia, one of those sort of energy towns that are just insanely cold for the whole year.
Yeah.
And this one, she didn't have a job. It's just a really good account of her, quite drunk because she drinks a hell of a lot of vodka to stay warm.
Yeah.
Just sort of preparing her daughter's food for the next day at school. In this tiny little flat, and it's sort of, they really draw a picture, but there's this one line, it says, who can know how she feels as she drunkenly puts the sandwich together?
Yeah.
And it's sort of late at night, they've described her day, she's got some, I was thinking, that's another one, who can know how that dad felt as he ironed that swimsuit? Who can know?
Yeah, who can know?
No, because
it's quite touching in a way.
Some accounts, if they're as good as Alice's there, they force us almost into the point of view of the protagonist. Yeah. In that case, I can just imagine that dad looking down and just it melting
and thinking,
right in front of him. I can imagine being that woman looking at that sandwich, just sort of thinking, why am I doing all this? Yeah. What's the point of life? I'll carry on. This is from Mike Oates. Having not long passed my driving test, my first car, a banger, ran out of water and broke down with steam coming out of the bonnet. After trying a few houses, I eventually found a telephone box to call Dad for help. This was before mobile phones. Eventually, it'd be odd to do that now.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
Could I borrow your phone, please? It'd be funny though if outside you had like a Ford Capri was broken down and you're wearing flares. Can I borrow your phone, please? Yeah, no, my fan belt's gone.
And the phone box isn't there anymore.
I haven't got any change for the phone box. Quite a good show, though, for television.
I'm all out of shillings.
999 70s emergency. Yeah, right. Anyway, eventually he arrived at the scene, unscrewed the radiator cap and emptied his bladder into the radiator.
What?
With what must have surely been a good 2 pints. He turned round and said, "That'll get you home." Got back in his car and drove off. Thankfully, it did get me home. Let's clap that in.
Life lessons. What a beautiful story.
A really nice story. Oh, so really, his dad just turned
so
up.
So beautiful.
Obviously had a counterpart, slashed at his radiator and just...
I bet he never told the garage to drain that radiator for him.
Slashed is a real 70s one here.
It really is.
I've just got to go for a slash. Anyway,
You might as well have a fight at a fairground if you're going to use that.
Yeah, absolutely right. You might as well just hit me with a bike chain. Yeah, right. Send us your dad's stories. Yeah. Yeah, see, right. You might as well go and tear it up at the fair, Gaff.
After a snake bite in black.
Yeah, let's go and drink some snake bite. Go to the fair, see if we can get into a fight. Send us your dad's stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. They can range from eccentric to downright embarrassing. They can be oddly heroic or just mortifying, as long as they're carried out by that well-meaning buffoon, the dad, who can know how they feel. Text your dad's stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Go on.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I want you both to look at this. Listeners, you won't have the benefit of vision, obviously, it being radio.
Oh, man.
But look at that, right?
Look at that.
So that house is... They're looking at a house and Gav is reacting to a house that is... Describe what you see, so you're going to be better than Gav just going, oh, man.
A house entirely... covered in, is it?
Oh man,
Gav, stop saying oh man.
Some
it
kind of plant. I can't tell the plant from here, but it's
a Virginia creeper.
It's a creeping vine.
Wow,
the entire,
Gav, just stop.
Oh,
wait, stop,
man.
Sorry,
look at
the fireplace.
It.
Is utter, it's like a green and red house because
it's like it's
all
on fire.
Plant. It's all plant.
It is, it's an autumnal scene. Wow, man,
look, Gav, can I just say, yeah, it's radio. All you did during that was go, wow. Man, that's not good.
It's a beautiful house.
It's a beautiful house. I'll tell you about it now. So I've just shown the team the Virginia creeper covering this tea room.
Yeah.
A tea room on the banks of the River Carney in Llanhwst. And it's developed a distinctly autumnal hue. Doubtless a Welsh listener.
Autumnal hue.
Doubtless a Welsh listener will be laughing about my pronunciation then.
Yeah.
But if they want to call in, we'll laugh at them. For how they pronounce English. I'm just kidding. Dodgson's Templeton, what it did make me think, looking at this, is do you not think it looks, with the chimneys at either end of this house, so it's a really nice cottage, it's absolutely covered in like the gang said, Virginia creeper, with sort of autumnal colours coming
at
in
the
there.
The top side, yeah.
Sort of russets and reds, things just creeping in. And but does it not look like a dog's, the top of a dog's head? Look at the chimneys. Look at the chimneys.
It does. It does.
Sunter,
it
just like go with it, Sunter.
Short little ears.
Sunter, don't be a dog in the manger. Just go with it. It's really fun. Okay, okay. So what I'm thinking, Suns, yeah, is why don't houses, yeah, with all these Japanese knotweed and things that are a problem,
yeah,
why can't with your house you grow things, and your house could then have a distinctive hairstyle? No, like, it's not so ridiculous. My mum has a cottage, right? And it's thatched,
yeah.
But at the front, obviously, so you can get in, the thatch is quite high, but at the back, it goes right down.
Right.
And it sort of looks like my mum's house has got a mullet. No, it does. I'm just saying it looks like a sort of mullet house.
Mine's got a centre part. It's just a two-angle pitch.
Yeah, but if you had that thatched up,
yeah,
you could have like the proper things coming
like
down,
curtains.
A bit of a wedge cut in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't mind like a country cottage with a massive quiff. Like
or
a huge knotweed quiff like Elvis all
yeah.
tied up. I bet it would protect it. I bet you'd find this is a real alternative.
An asymmetric bob.
Yes.
For a thatched roof. That
getting
would
the
look
idea.
Great.
Now you're getting the idea. Just like a Sunter could have one with like a big Mohican.
Mohican?
Yeah, a Mohican. Just
say
a massive
Mohican.
Thatched Mohican.
Mohican?
No, Mohican. Now you've got to always pronounce words like that. You go, well, yeah, I mean, but if you'd speak to that native peoples,
right.
they call themselves the Mohicans. Sunter, what hairstyle would you go for in a house? Or would you regularly dye it, different colours?
Yeah, different colours, definitely. You could just change the flowers that you had growing through it throughout the year. So
there we go.
Could you have
colours?
Hanging bangs?
Yes.
Of hanging
you
flowers.
Plaits, you could plait the vines.
Yes.
Hanging baskets like earrings.
Yes.
Either side. Couldn't you? Like lights.
Eyebrows on the window.
Yes. Yes. A crown of bunting. You could do all sorts of things. 83936, what hairstyle would you give your house? I just think...
Yeah.
It's okay, where we're going here is radical. I've never heard that ever on radio before. They say all text-ins have been done before, but
certainly
what
not on Grand Design.
What hairstyle would you give your house? For me, that's even like a kids' show. They used to have Hattie Town where everyone lived in hats, but Hairy Town.
Brilliant.
Will on the A1, thank you very much indeed. Will, how about a neatly trimmed ivy surrounding the front door as a sort of goatee? Will, it's a beautiful thing. Gav.
I give my house dreads.
Oh.
And they could be used as an entry point by climbing up them into the first floor. Plus, imagine them blowing in the wind when there's a storm. Majestic.
Like
that's from Gareth in Southport.
Like Ja Lion. And all the time, you just have Natural Mystic by Bob Marley. Yeah. The storm it's got that weird noise on it. Okay, mullet. Business at the front, party at the back. Harley, can I just say, do you know that thing of the mullet? And saying that the front says, the front side say I'm serious, the back says let's party. Can I just say something? I made that up.
That is in fact true.
I made that up years ago. You can go back and you can see it on the show. And everyone, no, I never get ready. Okay, let's have the next one. Stephen
Durham says, would all dwellings in communist countries have to have the same haircut? Say a uniform short back and sides on every house.
Yeah, that's from Stephen Durham. Thank you so much, Steve. How about this one? Has to be the iconic Kevin Keegan perm.
Yes.
Quite a bit of upkeep, but so worth
it. So worth it.
Lisa in Scarborough, so are you. That's an absolute beauty. How about this then? I'd have no thatch on top, but start halfway down the roof with a ponytail all the way to the floor, then halfway up the drive, Francis Rossi style. Not bad. Or you go for the Desmond Morris house.
That's Paul in Stevenage. That's a beauty.
That's a beauty. Or someone says they just give their house a pudding bowl cup just as revenge for costing them so much money. I think, though, just like a Desmond Morris-style comb-over.
A comb-over,
with all the
drain, yes.
All the pipes going over the roof.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-till-7 thing.
I was just talking about hood ornaments. It's called the three-pointed star.
The Mercedes emblem, yeah.
The Mercedes emblem. And, I was in Stuttgart once. I digress, but not too much.
Mm.
It's just as soon as I hear, as Gav knows, a sort of trigger word for anything, a story will come out, normally the same one. But I was once in Stuttgart and filming with Jürgen Klinsmann. Great day. Wow. Really great day. Really great guy. And but having said that, I wouldn't particularly want to go drinking with him.
Why?
Because I think it'd be the dullest night you've ever had.
Oh, really?
In your life. Yeah, I think it would. I really do.
Is he not a fun
guy? Oh, no, I just asked him if he played golf. He goes, no, I cannot because of the time.
It's too much time.
You know, to 5 hours a day. I go, no, you don't have to do it 5 hours a day every day.
Yeah. Just once a week.
He looked at me like, what?
Well, why? Well, if you're going to do it, do it every day.
But otherwise, how do you get to be the best?
Oh, no.
No, that really was it. Suddenly occurred to me. I was thinking, oh, my God, he thinks you play golf, you can't just play it casually.
You have to be number one.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
But
wow.
I couldn't get to be champion or Bernard Langer now. Yeah. Bernard Langer, who definitely wears a thong. Let's move on.
No question.
The point is, I once went to Stuttgart and we're driving past the Mercedes factory and a guy said, and up above it is the enormous Mercedes three-pointed star. Yeah. It's massive and turning around like neon.
Wow.
Stuttgart's a great town, it's certainly. So you can have a good two nights there and one of those is recovery.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a two-night town. Anyway, it's got the best toy shop on earth in it as well, with the best steam department. Anyway, he said to me, look at this. He says, it's the most famous logo in all of Germany. I said, that's not quite true, is it? There was this sort of silence.
What did he say?
No, but I genuinely meant it. I said, well, no, there is a logo that is known a bit more the world over, isn't there?
It's definitely the most famous emblem.
It was a hell of a silence, though, Gav.
They don't like discussing
anyway, the point
it,
about yeah. it is that's a very famous hood ornament, and it's one that a lot of people aspire to, right, Suns?
It is, yeah.
I guess.
Firstly, I aspire to more involved Jack Daniels in the story. Anyway, get this. I've got something even more prestigious.
Go on.
Okay.
A policeman clung to the front of a car when a motorist who's about to find sped away.
Right.
Imagine just driving around all the time with a policeman on your bonnet.
Wow. That's a hell of an emblem.
The officer was filmed sprawled on the bonnet of an Audi. This is in Johannesburg.
Oh, really?
He is heard shouting, he says, please, can you turn off the car? How would that sound, Gavin?
What? He said, please, can you turn off the car?
Yes, yeah, stop the car.
I doubt it very much.
No, stop the car. That's what he said. No, he's filmed saying it. But how would that sound in Joburg?
Stop the car.
No, but you can do, please, can you turn off the car?
Please turn off the car. Now.
Turn off the car.
Right now.
Right now, eh?
Stop the car.
Sorry, I love any opportunity to get Gav doing South African accents. It's always a treat. I mean, it's not much of a treat, just Wan.
Got him.
Anyway, the person who filmed the incident near Johannesburg, a passenger in a passing car, is heard screaming, "Oh my God, what's happening here?
Oh my God, what's happening here?"
Thank you. Hey, it's a new way of doing the news. I can keep both through the lines. It's much better. The uniformed officer can be seen struggling to keep his feet above the road as the vehicle cruises. The runaway motorist, a 27-year-old woman, is shown slowing down before she's blocked by a police van. Question, Gav, if you could have anything on your hood ornament, as a hood ornament, what do you have on the front of your car? It's always there.
A crystal, like made of glass crystal, a crow with a broken wing.
Why do you like that? Crystal. So, what are you going for on your car, a hood ornament? What would you like?
A cat.
Yeah.
A cat, not a real cat.
she's you just mean a full-size tiger.
I think a real...
A cat.
A real cat.
No,
what,
no,
would you have it curled
cat.
Up? Sleeping?
No.
Or prancing like on a Jaguar?
Yeah, can I just get a Jaguar? Can I just have a Jag?
Santa wants a Jag. Write it down.
Have a Jag.
Let me just make a note.
Santa wants a Jag. Mark 2, probably.
83936, what would you have on your bonnet? I think, though, a cat, like in a... As long as it was enclosed, we could see it, but just quite happily moving round on a bonnet.
No.
But like with a little fence. It,
like a little fence, like a roof terrace.
No.
Oh, that was really good. You have a live
like
cat.
Like a petting zoo on your car.
I don't have a rampant bulldog, exactly like, yeah.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Gav?
Yeah?
Let's have a hero.
Okay.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman Furniture with a hero. Today is no exception. As you know, Monday has always been wrapped all day. Thursday, crazily named creature. Generally on a Friday.
Yeah, I send you off crying.
Until we pointed it out
heroic
to Gav,
military
you
story.
Depress the heck out of us.
Yeah.
With some tale of...
A dog that waited 9 years in a crevasse.
A pilot that held on a wing and burned while his
found
crew...
Found a puppy.
Found a puppy that he saved.
Yeah, exactly.
His own body cushioned the fall and was crushed.
Beautiful.
So they're beyond recognition. So they found his fingerprints in his head. But today, Gav, you've got something that's going to lift us up, I hope, for the weekend.
Oh, definitely.
According to your new remit.
Yes, this is a story from today's papers. Doreen Jones is the hero today,
Johnny. It's not Doreen, it's Doreen! That was the woman who used to work for my dad, doing cooking.
Was she Doreen or Doreen?
No, it's not Doreen, it's Doreen!
Okay, so Doreen Jones, 81, from Blackheath in Birmingham. Well, this is where the incident happened anyway, last May. She was at the cash point. And a young woman tapped her on the shoulder and started by asking for money, but then snatched at her card. And the twice widowed machinist and welder, Doreen. So you're not going to mess with someone who's been through all that, are you?
No, you're not.
You're just not.
Well, you've never messed with a female welder, Gav.
Exactly. And she says...
In fact, write that down as something we've learned.
Yeah.
Never mess with a female welder.
She said, at first she said she wasn't expecting me. She was expecting someone more vulnerable.
Nice.
A great
I bet
line.
They're expecting someone more vulnerable.
And then she said, I thought, no, you're not having my money. I've worked hard for that, which she obviously has.
I should like to see the hands cut off.
Being a machinist and welder.
She's a machinist and a welder to boot.
So Doreen grabbed the mugger by the collar and hair and saw her off. She ran away.
I thought you say saw them off.
No, saw her
and
off.
And sawed them off.
The mugger. West Midlands police said Doreen is a tough lady.
She's a tough lady.
This suspect picked the wrong pensioner.
They picked the wrong pensioner to mess with this time. She's a welder and machinist.
So the wrong pensioner is a great title for a movie.
It's a great title.
And I'd like us to salute the wrong pensioner, Doreen Jones.
For me, though, Gav, she's the right pensioner at the right time. Doreen. Johnny Vaughan, 4-7 thing. We salute you. Very good title for film, though. The right pension, like the right stuff.
Yes.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
Oh, Johnny Vaughan, you're rolling with the 4-7 thing gang. You're right there, Dr. Cinna Templeton.
I am.
Gav?
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember your first days at school, guys? Do you remember yours?
Vaguely.
Do you remember your first day at proper school? Not nursery, proper school. 4 years old.
I do.
No.
Do you remember putting a uniform for the first time?
Yes, I do. And the reason I remember it is because it was a safari suit.
Was it? Oh, because you were in South Coast. I forget Gav's African. So can't you remember? What?
No, because I started school in Malta when I was like 2.
Oh, I forgot.
No, wow, you've been going to school since you were 2.
Yeah, no wonder you're like, really early.
Clever in that.
Yeah.
One of them like smart
when
kids.
When I came to England when I was 4, I could already read and write.
And you had A-levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I was already in talks to be going to Cambridge.
Wow. With a few GCSEs under her belt.
Yeah.
Well, get this. I remember my first day at school, so I put on the school uniform. Yeah. The school in North London. And I put on the school uniform, St Andrews. I put on the school uniform. I remember 4 years old, and I said to my mum, I feel really grown up, and she just laughed in my face.
Oh, that's nice. Oh.
No, she did. She just found it really funny, me saying that. And I had a tie on her. I never worn a tie. I was saying, I feel really grown up, though. And she went, she just laughed.
That's funny.
It's a warming moment.
It was a really nice, that's a nice
one. Little school shorts.
Anyway, I only say it because children are now starting school unable to hold a pen. I can hold a pen, definitely. Yeah. When I start, I'd hold crayons and pens.
Yeah, sure.
I can definitely hold a pen, so I can tick that one. But the new problem they're having is kids are now swiping books like iPads. They've never seen books before.
That's not true.
It is. It is.
Yes, it is.
It's on a Channel 4 thing. They now swipe. But soon,
they think it's a tablet.
I was looking at a photograph the other day. Someone gave me a photograph. I was around at their house, and they had an old photograph in a frame.
Yeah.
And they gave it to me, and I tried to pinch it to expand it.
Yeah.
I did, yeah. Genuinely. I haven't been offered a photograph for so long. When do I ever get offered photographs like that?
I don't know.
Well, I can tell you, then.
I tried to look at the bottom of a newspaper article for the comments once by scrolling up.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought, oh yeah, you can't. There's no battery.
No, or screen.
Or screen. What am I doing?
I like that you, start, like you started with, but like if you connected the newspaper up to a battery, that might have done it. Anyway, but it gets worse, guys. Some kids even communicate with grunts.
What?
They can't even talk now.
Oh, just grunts.
Yeah, and here's the worst thing. Some wear nappies and have parents who expect schools to provide toilet training. Now, let me tell you, if there's a few things.
At 5 years old?
Yeah, there's a few, 4 years old. There's a few things that should shame you as a parent. If your kid is on his first day or her first day at school, or their first day at school, and they're grunting in a nappy, standing there trying to swipe a book.
You haven't joined in.
You've got to meet the teachers halfway.
You really haven't. The teachers also don't provide toilet training.
No,
it's not like what's lesson two today? Toilet.
Yeah.
Toilet.
No, that's not a lesson.
That's not. They should have done that by that stage.
Yeah.
More than half of the 100 teachers interviewed had at least one child in a class still using a dummy. Mind you, Flavor Flav had one of those, like late on. So you know,
it's quite gangster. Yeah,
you could have just a new flavor there. I don't. Do they also have a big clock around the neck, slightly ahead of time?
Radio X, Johnny Vaughan.
That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about it. Rate and review. Don't forget to listen to the show weekdays from 4 till 7. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Get into it. Get involved.
Radio X.